Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Our number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, live from ESPN Studios in the Seaport District of New York City. As we were talking, obviously, a lot of NFL here. Championship last night, Georgia gets the win, and 40 years finally over with. Auburn won in 2010. Right? And that was 52 years they waited for a national championship.
Herschel.
Yeah. So absolutely something that is being celebrated right now in Georgia. And if you're Alabama, you're like, all right, well, we'll see you next year. Yeah. They have a seat at the table almost every year, it feels like.
Bryce Young,
Saban with
Bryce
six
Young's
titles there, seven overall.
It's not going to be hard to motivate that team.
Yeah. All right. In the meanwhile, let's go to the Goodyear hotline and bring in our good friend, Jay Williams.
Jay Wilson.
Jay Weezy.
Yes. Hey guys, hey Alan. I just wanted to say, the Nets have a lot of games coming up, and I just wanted to know maybe if you could be my guest. Maybe you can go see a game. Maybe check a game out coming up, and they play OKC. Maybe you and I go have a good dinner.
I think it's great.
And go see the game. Say courtside. How do you feel about that?
Courtside would be great, Jay. I look forward to that.
Can I make a reservation for March 29th with you?
No, Bart, I was just really only inviting Alan, to be honest. I mean, you're cool. Alan and I have a deeper connection.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. Listen, I understand that. We all got favorites. Yeah. Like, we got our favorite kid and all that stuff.
I just want a fair chance, man.
Listen, I don't care how much that ticket costs, man. March 29th, I am in the building. But this is the problem. I'm going to tattoo Bobo on the inside of both my biceps. But when I turn my back, I need somebody next to me to have another Bobo jersey on so you can say it twice. Bobo and
Bart,
then Bobo on the guns.
Bar, I just want you to know that because you are my brother, March 29th, my courtside seats to the Nets, they are yours. To you and a guest,
yes!
Whoever you want to go see, that is the Pistons, that is Detroit, that is yours, brother. You got it. Lock it in.
Now listen.
Wait. Are you going with them?
No, he says he's going to give them up for me.
Because I want to be his hype man. I
want to
be there.
What do you guys want to do?
We're going
to
Instagram live the whole thing. I'm going to hold up the phone whole game.
You know
we're
going to
be yelling.
Like.
Every time Bobo comes out of the game, we're going to yell at Dwayne Casey, Dwayne, put him back in the game.
I will tell Dwayne Casey, I'm from Detroit. I got people there. I will get you touched. I say he plays.
I will get you touched. Be careful with the term touch these days,
Okay.
Use that term.
Okay, yeah.
I get you linked on.
But listen, we're going to start off the first habit in warm-ups. Me and Alan's going to have a Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, because that's what we're going to look like standing next to each other.
McFilthy and McNasty.
And then we're going to switch over to the Bobo jersey. But listen, this is the thing, though, right? This is the thing, though. I'm just so happy for the kid to get freed. I mean, he's been sitting on the bench for 3 years, and I don't know, he's one of the most skilled big men that I've seen as far as his ability at his height to shoot with range, to be able to handle the basketball. And I just think if he had somebody that believed in him, you figure out the things that he's deficient in. But what he can offer is just the ability to shoot the basketball, start his own break. What he's shown in the summer leagues, to me, it seems like it should be nurtured, should be watered. And I feel like out there in Denver, he just wasn't getting it.
I have to agree with you. And it's funny, though, and I try to tell people about this, and Bart, you know this from playing in the league, and Alan, you definitely know this from as much hoop as you watch. You could be like, and I'll use myself as an example here. So my 3 years in college, I played all PNR, all pick and roll, mm-hmm. with guys that can spread the floor and shoot, and I felt like my basketball IQ had gotten to a great point. But the system I came into and the coach that I came into – we ran no pick and roll, zero. We ran an offense called the triangle, which was drastically different. And it was one of those things that I try to tell people, hey, just because you're drafted high, it's really about the luck of the draw. It's where you get a chance to go and if they're willing to put in the right schemes around you and allow you to have that ability to nourish and to grow and to play and then give you chances to do so. But some of these coaches have things that are fixated in their mind at this is the way I'm going to do it. And we see that happen in the NFL, right? Like, guys, here's my system. Here's my offensive strategy. Yep. Like, hey, we're not going to actually make our offensive strategy. We're not going to build that around the talent that we actually have on the field or on the court. And I think Bol Bol is just another example of that, guys. You can get lost among the shuffle.
We shall see again there with a very young team. We'll see if he has an impact. But by March 29th, when Bart's there courtside, man, that's going to be a scene. So we certainly look forward to that. But on the other side of that game will be a Nets team that in that game, at least right now, we believe, will not have Kyrie Irving available because he can't play in home games. But he is playing in road games. He went for 22 last night. The Nets do lose, though, Jay, and that right now is a bit of the concern is, you know, they are in a weird place where they're losing games lately. Yeah, KD kind of, you know, was been frustrated the way they've been playing. Is it just enough to have Kyrie there for the road games? Are they going to have to figure something out? Because I got to be honest with you, Jay, when you get to the playoffs, how do you sit out a game 7 at home? For your team, that's got to be a really hard thing. Never mind all the other stuff and what he should do and what he shouldn't do. It's none of my damn business. I've reached that point in life where I've just said, you know what? If he doesn't want to get the vaccine, fine. But the rules are he can't play. But it's a game 7 for your team. That's a hard game to sit out. And that could very much happen if they've got a top seed.
I'll say this. The ruling in New York in certain cities, I can understand to a degree, even though it frustrates me, because you have other players that don't have to abide by those rules due to geographically where they're located. That's right. Number one. So I feel like it puts Tyree in a tough bind and people draw conclusions about him and what kind of teammate he is based off a situation in which other players are allowed to participate at 100% all the time. So that's number one. Number two, as much as I love seeing Kyrie on the floor, I just don't know how you build continuity, you know, and it's like what I see with the Chicago Bulls guys. Like, you don't hear any drama coming out of the Chicago Bulls camp, right? It's they are building continuity in the reps. It's like you guys on radio. It's like you guys are one of the best shows because of the amount of reps that you guys get together. You understand each other's cadences. You understand when Bart wants to come in with a wild thought. You know, you got roles are accepted and defined, and that's why you guys blossom, right? Because of that experience. Mm-hmm. And when you can't go through that on a day-to-day basis, especially when you get the crunch time, then you start having different answers, right? Like, all right, so the ball's in this guy's hand on the road as opposed to this guy in a game 7 at home, and you rely upon certain things on the road that you can't rely upon at home, so other players have to step up. I'm not saying guys can't do it, but when you don't get those reps and they're not consistently built in, over time, like that leaves a lot of question marks, and it's hard to establish a culture and a rhythm when your rhythm changes between home and away games, man.
Yeah, that's something that, again, remains to be seen with them, how they figure this out. But something that Chauncey Billups said last night really has become a topic of discussion among basketball Twitter and everybody else that just talks basketball, whether it's on Twitter or not. Chauncey Billups, again, a championship point guard and now coach of the Portland Trailblazers and, of course, a friend of ours at ESPN. He said that Kyrie is a wizard. He said he's must-see TV. I personally think, as somebody that played the position, I think Kyrie's the most skilled player that's ever played that position. Ooh. How do you feel about that, Jay, as somebody that played that position?
That's not shocking for me. I mean, we've been saying that for a while. I mean, obviously, I'm not Chauncey Billups. I'm not an NBA champion. But, I mean, I said this before. And I know that you and I on a text chain, Alan, we kind of like disagreed in a way.
Yep.
Like, I've said it because, and I guess Chauncey put that in layman's terms, but I'm even telling you, even the skillful aspect, it's hard to explain to people how difficult it is seeing Kyrie do what he's doing. Like, I compared it to abstract art. A lot of times, you know, it takes certain people that understand abstract art to be able to see and define how incredibly gifted a painter is, right? And it's almost that same way with Kyrie. It's like, do you know how hard it is to Euro in transition and lean your body in and then take the ball with your right hand and spin it off the glass at a certain angle with sideways, like English spin to have the ball bounce? Some of the things he's able to do, you just sit there and you're like, it's like territory that's been unexplored. Like, you're like, what is that? How do I? And it's even funny when you see kids try to mimic that. The fluidity in which he's able to then do that, Alan and Bart, That's what makes it even more special, because he does it seamlessly. He does it effortlessly.
Here's why it when you say abstract art, it's what you're trying to say is that it's hard to explain it. You can only see it. Not everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's what you're saying. And I understand what you're saying. But what I see in Kyrie Irving is a modern version of, in some ways, of course, they're not exactly the same.
Go ahead and say it.
Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because when you ask Pearl about moves that he made, he's like, I didn't know what I was going to do. Like Clyde used to say, it was so hard to guard him because I didn't know what he was going to do because he didn't know what he was going to do. It was all instinct. Kyrie has the confluence of so many things you need to be a great basketball player, which includes three elements I don't think everybody has. Body control, awareness, meaning IQ, of the game, and then instinct, which is just a natural thing. Like, how about this? Instead of saying abstract guard, how about this, Jay? He's in the Matrix. He just sees it.
That.
He sees it like the Matrix. It's all zeros and ones to him.
He's Neil.
No, there's some guys that just see it, and everything just. But he's got the body control that allows him to do things that some people don't. There's a lot of little skill sets that all come together that make him what he is. But
I was surprised Chauncey went with him.
Well, being
from where he's from,
like ever,
being where
ever
he made his name,
ever played a position. There's so many other guards I could think of. That
Zeke gets
Isaiah Thomas.
He gets disrespected because he was tough too, defensively.
Ridiculous handle,
range. Like I think because we're '80s babies, so we were kids.
And the
when
game
we
was
saw,
played different then too. Yeah. There was no Euro step. There was no step back.
It was a killer crossover. I can remember the days where he, you know, was crossing cats over, going in circles, dribbling and weaving and just turning around, running back out to the elbow, turn around just shooting up the 18-footer, release, rotation, splash. Like, to me, because of the toughness, because of the defense, and because of the leadership, and he has everything that Kyrie has. Now, of course, as the game changes, skill sets evolve.
Of course.
Like, when you look at, you know, the creation of the sidestep, which James Harden did, you look at some of the things that Steph is able to do, but I think Isaiah embodies everything. He had everything that the modern day guy had, but he had the leadership and toughness, and you know he didn't do those things because they weren't required.
But Bart, you're talking about other attributes. I'm just talking about sheer skill, like on the basketball skill set on the court. First, I think it's hard for people to compartmentalize basketball and Kyrie in the same breath because of all the things that Kyrie comes with for a lot of people. Right, that's a lot for people to unpack. Yeah. But when you actually just look on the court, what he does footwork-wise, it's like Chris Brown is one of the most gifted dancers you ever see. Take Chris Brown and elevate that with the basketball in his hand. Like that's what Kyrie is. Like some of the things he can do, dropping the ball with his right hand, doing like a pseudo spin move, bringing the ball behind his back. He moves like poetry, right? Like the way poetry sounds to you, where you're like, man, like if that's Maya Angelou, like that sounds incredible. How did she piece those words together? That's what Kyrie is on the court. He's poetry in motion on the court. And we really haven't seen the game played at that magnitude before. It's just different, man. And I love Zeke. Zeke's my favorite player of all time. Look, they try to call me Isaiah in blue when I was in college. I just think Kyrie's handle and that skill work is on a different level than Zeke.
So we can say that Kyrie is Chris Brown and Isaiah because he's older and he's Usher. Usher was good, but he
Usher was good.
But Chris Brown took it to another level.
Next iteration of Usher, yes.
Okay, so there we go. I can agree with that. I can rock with that.
All right, Bart's in a better place now with that conversation.
I cried when I heard Jay say it.
And Usher has a lot more hits, too. Usher has a lot more hits, a lot more championships. You know what I mean? I don't know. That might be a –
I want to see them in the verses. That's what I've been trying to get.
Yeah,
I've been trying to get Usher and Chris Brown in verses, but Chris Breezy won't do it with nobody.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I played pickup with Usher, if he waved me off one more again, I was like, you out here trying to wave me off. This is not what you do. Okay? Your footwork is not translating to the court.
Jay Williams joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Jay, what are the Knicks going to do with Julius Randle? Is this one of those things where New York is too much for some people, or is this one of those things of this too shall pass and things will be fine? What's going on? What do you see going on there? And, you know, what was your take on the thumbs down, you know, him dropping F-bombs in the post game about not caring about what anybody says or what anybody thinks and all that stuff. And then, of course, the apology after that. And then his next home game, you know, he scores 2 points, doesn't really take a lot of shots. The Knicks still win, but, you know, he is in the exact opposite place he was a year ago with this fan base and with this team. What do you see from this whole thing?
Well, first off, I see my fellow Blue Devil putting in work, and I really think depending upon his development will say a lot about what kind of superstar the Knicks could potentially get or where R.J. Barrett can take the team. So I'm proud of watching R.J. As it relates to Julius Randle, look, man, I saw your post too, Alan, which I really agree with. This is a family, and I think sometimes when you're in New York, you can get really frustrated with some of the boos you hear for somebody that really feels like he pours it into the game every single night. Now, I'm not saying he's been able to pour it into the game every single night. I think the challenge of playing the way the Knicks play, and I know people, when they hear this, they're like, oh, everybody plays hard. But, like, when you have to win games by executing and play hard, like, mentally that becomes a little bit exhausting. And I think some teams, when you have very skillful players or dynamic players, you can rely upon them to help you get a lot of games. Whereas for the Knicks, you feel like they need to be crisp and sharp all the time to execute and play hard to win those games every single night. So, look, is Julius Randle the caliber player skill-wise that he's being paid? No, but I'm also not going to say he's not worth the money, right? Because he wants to be there, and this is going to be sometimes people are going to get frustrated. But I think, just like you said in your post, sometimes with family members, you get pissed off at them, but it doesn't mean that they're not pulling in the same direction of the family. The question is, will he be able to put the output together each and every night the way you need him to, considering the way he got paid, right? It's almost like Baker Mayfield. He was the first pick, so you expect these certain things from him because you see he's the first pick or he got paid this.
That's not necessarily how
it works out, you know?
That is a great comparison because of all the same things, like how Baker seems focused on the negative reaction to things and how much it's maybe affecting him. And now you wonder, again, what do they do going forward? Now, they expect to have him there next year. I expect the Knicks to have Julius Randle as well. I mean, you've got to figure it out. But maybe they've also, as you mentioned, R.J. Barrett, maybe they figured out you can't just put everything on this guy's shoulders, meaning Randle, and expect him to deliver like he's LeBron James. It's just not who he is. You've got to figure out a way to take the pressure off him and allow him just to be, you know, what he's good at, which is a score, which is a guy that can definitely score on you. Instead of making him the be-all, end-all. And maybe that's where they gotta figure that out. Quickly, Jay, on Klay Thompson, seeing him come back, seeing him go for 17, get a dunk in that game as well, the snarl on his face, almost 2 years go by, he's back, and what does it mean for the Warriors?
Well, him coming back is obviously a huge sign, but I saw something different at the beginning of the game that it really made me think, oh, damn, like this is about to be a problem for the rest of the league. So, obviously, Draymond Green is out, right? But let me tell you how significant it was that he came back in at the beginning. He came into the game at the beginning of the game. And even though he couldn't play and he got subbed out, there's something to be said about the support that you have around you when you go through stuff in life. And a lot of people didn't see the significance of it. But just seeing Dre on the court, it's like it established to me a mindset that our band is back together.
Right.
And if you have two of the greatest shooters the game has ever seen, and he had the bang coming off the left leg, he moved around great defensively. I saw him strap up a couple of times. The shot is always going to be there. That's a scary mentality and mindset to have with a team that is in the position that they were without Klay, right? Like Dre just establishing, no, I'm going to be on this court regardless of whether I'm injured because I'm willing to do anything I can do to show my brother that the band is back together. Like this is how we are built to be together. And I think that's going to translate, man. Obviously, the Bulls are a really good team. Miami's coming. Milwaukee's there. The Nets are there. You still have Phoenix who's there. We'll see what the Lakers are able to strap together. Utah will be there. But it's hard for me to bet against the Golden State Warriors for winning a world championship just because of the mentality and the chip on their shoulder that I know this team will have with the talent combined. It's scary.
Yeah, really. What I think they did is they just put the league on notice. That's exactly what that was about. And this is going to be something amazing. See how Klay does as we get to May. But once we get to May, oh, we might be talking about the start of a second dynasty. And yes, of course, Bobo, March 29th at Barclays. We all will be there. Jay, always great to talk to you, my man. All the best.
All right, boys. Have a good day.
All right, Jay Williams. You can hear him on KJM every morning on ESPN Radio. So coming up, we're going to get some answers to some head-scratching NFL questions. We'll do that next. But first, Bart, tell us about Grainger.
For all the ones who get it done. Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call clickgranger.com or stop on by. Back after this, audio files.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Ah, yes, another fitting song. Mm-hmm. As Georgia celebrates its national championship. You ever heard this song?
Absolutely.
It's a crazy song, man. The whole story of the song is hilarious, but
that's
the devil went down to Georgia.
Yeah. That's why I love these. I love country songs. They're basically just the blues. And it's always a story.
This story is something. It's just, but anyways, it's just celebrating Georgia's song.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yes, sir. It's Barton on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. As I mentioned, it is Barton Hahn. We're coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, and it's brought to you by Chase. And as we have gone through the headlines and the different stories to talk about over the last hour and a half, and guests and whatnot, let them do some talking as well. We step aside. We let the headline makers do the talking in a segment, Bart, we like to call Audio Files.
Audio Files.
It's a sweet
the
spot.
Audio File.
That might have been one of my better gongs. Right? That's up there. Top five gong.
You got your obliques open. You got the perfect range.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the technique. Yeah. Like, I'm learning the technique has to be, you're right. Like, I'm square to the mic, but I have to...
Yeah,
twist at the torso.
Rotate. Yeah.
Then I have to extend.
Tricep extend.
And it's. Look, hear the reverb. See, the reverb is just.
And you got to snap it back. You can't just hold it in there because it'll stop the vibration. You got to snap it back.
Yeah. I've been working on it. I've been doing tricep work to get that perfect. All right. Meanwhile, so we get some head scratching NFL questions answered, such as in Miami. And we got a lot of calls about this yesterday. Why the hell did you fire Brian Flores, owner Stephen Ross?
An organization can only function if it's collaborative and it works well together. I don't think that we were really working well as an organization that it would take to really win consistently at the NFL level. I have no coach in mind at this point. We're going to do a thorough review and interview process. I love Jim Harbaugh. He's at the University of Michigan. That is the school I graduated from, and I'm very involved in it. And I'm not going to be the person who takes Jim Harbaugh for the University of Michigan. I hope he stays there. He is a great coach.
All right, so he wanted to make that clear. I know what the rumors say, but I'm not taking him away from my alma mater, even if it means I'd get a great coach and I could win with my NFL team. BS meter, Bart Scott.
Well,
1 to 10. Where is it on the BS meter?
I believe him with his words, and what he says is true. I know a lot of people that know Stephen Ross that's involved with that alumni program. But if Harbaugh says, hey, I'm out of here, and he reaches out as a friend, then, hey, I'm going to leave him in good hands. I'm going to leave one of my assistants as the head coach. I think this is a young man's game, somebody that wants to be there for the next 10 to 15 years. I don't want to coach that long. I want to come into the NFL. I got unfinished business, and I want to do it with you as a Miami Dolphin. How do you not listen to that if you have that much admiration and respect for him as a coach, as a leader, as a person? So I think, you know, I think that changes things if that's the case. Now, I don't understand how can you fire a coach like Brian Flores if, like, how can you say you don't have another coach in mind? Like, you better catch up. You don't go through some slow process because guess what? Chicago is going to be hiring somebody fast. Jacksonville is going to hire somebody fast because they've already started their process because they're not playing. And they fired their coach before the season was over with. Now, I know the Raiders job gets kind of, you know, crazy because he's done a good enough job to at least get an opportunity to coach for another year. But, man, this opening's already out here, man, and they're already hunting. You talking about, you sound like you starting the process today. Like, it was a surprise to you. And I understand what he's saying.
Oh, I think it was. I think they had, from what I've read and what I've heard,
they've had some
conversations. They had some meetings when the season ended, talking about what they're going to do going forward.
And it was quick.
And Flores has had a different look than Chris Greer did. And the owner said, well, I'm sticking with Chris Greer.
Right.
But we can replace you. And that was the end of that. And maybe even Flores said, I'll get a job somewhere else. All right, well, why don't you take that? Why don't you go ahead and get a job somewhere else?
It had
We're
going to
move
that.
On.
It had
right.
to be that.
Let's move on. Audiophiles, Barton Hahn. Another question that's asked right now that we need an answer to. Who should be the MVP of the NFL? Bruce Arians might be biased, but this is his answer.
I think if he doesn't get it, it's a travesty. I mean, most completions ever, 5,000 yards, touchdowns, the whole 9 yards. I mean, to me, it's not even a close race.
And of course, he's talking about his quarterback, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Would you say not even a close race? It should be Tom Brady, or is Aaron Rodgers the guy?
It's close.
Depends on who you ask, dude. It's amazing how we're split on this.
It's close. We know what the reporter in Chicago is, who he's voting for. But also the difference is, and what you kind of have to put into the equation is Tom's 44. He's doing something. He's got the best numbers.
But he looks younger than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Like, he need to start eating some more protein or some riboflavin or something. But, you know, Tom Brady is doing this at 44 years old, and his records speak for itself. Now, your eye test tell you that, hey, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback.
Yep.
But the records are only a discrepancy by one game. And you're looking at what Tom Brady is doing and the age he's doing it. He's doing something we've never seen before. So it's closer than I think people would think. I believe so.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see how this goes when the voting is revealed. All right, last but not least. So a job that some people thought could open up, Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule. Feeling is that maybe they'll make a change, but right now Matt Rhule remains the head coach. And so as we're closing up the season and you do your exit interviews with the media, Matt Rhule was asked one of those questions of a head-scratching decision that was made. So you trade for Sam Darnold. Before even seeing him, why would you pick up the fifth-year option? Especially when now you've seen this season and you know probably not your guy going forward. So Matt Rhule, why would you do that?
Yeah, that was a decision that we made. Bringing him here to be the starter, you know, knowing that if he had a great year, that he would be a high price guy, and if he's a starter at that number, that's low end starter money. So that was a decision made. It was a collective decision, and you know, I don't know how much more to say than that.
I mean, he has no.
If you're Sam Darnold, you have to be ecstatic.
That was a decision.
Yeah,
by the way, it was a collective. Wasn't like I wanted it, but we all talked about it. And, you know, if he was going to be the starter. But guess what? It doesn't look like he's going to be your starter. So
he may have to be.
Oh, yeah. You might be stuck. But, again, Sam Darnold might not be stuck with Matt Rhule. It still is not completely decided, although it does feel like he's going to be the guy going forward. But as we go to the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Antoine, he wants a change in Carolina. Antoine.
Hey, how you doing, y'all?
Good.
Long time listener.
Thank you.
How about the Carolina Panthers fire Matt Rhule and go after Jim Harbaugh?
It's a lot of cheese on that taco.
The Panthers did not have to go through a third season.
They gave him a seven-year deal.
I'm dealing with Matt Rhule.
They gave him a seven-year deal, I know, though, Antoine.
Yeah, that's the big problem. But listen, hear me out. You fire Matt Rule, you get Jim Harbaugh. He has a history with Christian McCaffrey. He has a good defense to start with. And everybody knows Jim Harbaugh knows how to make it work with the average quarterback.
Oh man.
An
average quarterback.
Which one is it? Was it the Miller kid and Sam Darnold? Cam has not
Cam,
ruled
Cam
out.
Will
Cam,
probably.
Cam didn't say he's retiring. He didn't say
no,
he's retiring.
I don't think he'll say it. But when you say you have Christian McCaffrey, do you? What do you have in Christian McCaffrey that you can rely on?
They were trying to move him, man. He's a foundational piece. Him and Saquon Barkley, listen, it's the tale of why you don't pay running backs, especially before you have to, because
you hate saying it because, I mean, again, McCaffrey's such a talent, but rely on him?
Ty Gurley was first, paid him too early, mm-hmm. right?
Zeke. Can you rely on him? Because he is a guy that does change your offense. He can do so many things, but your biggest concern when it comes to Christian McCaffrey is not, is he a good guy? Is not, is he a good player? All those things you say yes to. The only problem I have is I don't know if you're always going to be available.
And they're talking about playing him more a slot receiver to take some of the pounding off his body. He can play slot receiver.
He can, but
he's had a 1,000-yard receiving.
Okay, great, but that's not really
running back.
Yeah, you're.
Well, that's just how you get the value out of him, because if you get 100 catches as a receiver, great. You would think that'd be easier on his body.
Well, how does that take the pressure off of Sam Darnold? It doesn't. Now you got to make sure that he can see him and make those passes, make those plays.
Well, you can pick up a bum to play running back.
Pick up a bum.
You can go get Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon will be available.
You got to make another bum list. Is that what we've got to do? Curtis has been holding for a bit because he has a trade idea. Curtis, you still there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
First, Bart. Bart, big fan, man. I go to SIU. I'm part of the law school.
Salukis.
At SIU.
What's up, man?
Yeah, man. I wanted to ask you what you thought about Jeremy Chinn this year overall. And second, I wanted to ask you guys about the concept of maybe Kirk Cousins going to the Colts to replace Carson Wentz. They both their contracts end in 2022, right? And Kirk Cousins he's not like an all-star quarterback, so you know the premium isn't going to be as high, and his touchdown to interception ratio is almost
five to one. Curtis, you're really trying
to
make
it. You gave a first round pick. You don't even have nothing to give. So it's just an even swap. Why would Minnesota do that after looking at what he did? That's a tough one.
You cannot not right now.
You can't sell that one after he just basically got kicked out. That would be kicking him off two teams in 2 years. That's saying a lot about him.
All right, we're supposed to go to break, but we have somebody calling from Israel. Okay. That's long distance. Hard to keep somebody on hold long distance, so we go to Ari right now. Real quick, Ari, thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. How are you?
How's the weather out there?
I'm awesome. How are you guys?
Good. Yeah, Bart wants to know, what's the weather right now in Israel?
It's night here, so it's about, I'd say, about 50 degrees. But today was probably 60 and sunny. Yeah, we're enjoying it here.
Perfect.
I'm from New Jersey, so I'm not used to this. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, you should. Enjoy it while you can. What do you got for us?
Yep. All right. So I think the Chicago Bears need to go out and get Greg Roman as their head coach, because I think what he did with Lamar Jackson, scheme-wise, and they have a very similar skill set, Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson, I think that would work out really well for him.
What do you think, Bart?
Yeah, I mean,
you know him very well.
I mean, yeah, Greg Roman's been there, but...
Thank you, Ari.
Ah, man, him as a head coach... I don't know if he really wants to be a head coach. Now, I know
he was
that's
in
hard
the cycle
to say.
Last year.
He's in the cycle. Brian Daboll as well. You can say that Brian Daboll did a good, tremendous job in devising a plan for Josh Allen
mm-hmm.
who, you know, you think about it, just because, you know, you think about the similar skill sets, Justin Fields is not as a dynamic of a runner as Lamar Jackson. He's not as a dynamic runner as Colin Kaepernick. So you put him in there, you want the same results. I think if you put him in there, you get more about what you see from Huntley, which is good, but it's not dynamic enough to be a special offense.
Right.
And, you know, I think he'll get a lot more hits than Lamar Jackson gets, because Lamar Jackson's speed is so quick that it puts you on your heels that you just hope that you're just happy to get him down. You're just happy to get him out of bounds.
But he was able, though, to change up whatever they were doing for Lamar Jackson, and it worked out into an MVP season. So he certainly is somebody that's going to be in the list of coaches that are going to get interviews in this cycle.
Because they're asking him to get him fired in Baltimore right now. In Baltimore, they're trying to get rid of him. Because they said once Miami came with those zero blitzes and teams started blitzing, he had no answers for it.
So he didn't have a counter, which means the rest of the league now knows how to beat it.
They're just going
to
blitz it.
Interesting. Okay. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We certainly will continue with your calls. But we also want to discuss something that we saw. So did Tom Brady prove Antonio Brown even more foolish than he looked while jumping jacks in the end zone at MetLife Stadium? Something that happened in the last game of the season that pretty much whatever Brown had said about Brady and his loyalty, it completely squashes it. We will explain next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. What a beautiful look at Manhattan.
So you go out there.
The Brooklyn side.
Get out there, you can cut glass with your pasties.
Yeah.
It's that cold.
Yeah. Today is double layers.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Double layers. It is that kind of cold. Is it officially brick?
No, this is below, what's below brick?
I don't know. Yeah, I need to. I'm asking you.
I feel like Chili Willy, man, from Woody Woodpecker.
The penguin?
What about the crocodiles along the river now?
Man. So we did the AFC.
I a chew.
Earlier in the show. Let's power rank the NFC playoff teams. The Packers are the top seeds. They get the bye. Would you still keep them as your number one team as far as power ranking goes?
Yeah, yeah. I'll make them number one.
All right. Number two, the Bucks?
Bucks, for sure.
All right. Buccaneers are number two. Number three, I think, is where we could start debating. Who do you have as the third best team in the NFC in the playoff race?
If DeAndre Hopkins comes back, I'm going with the Cardinals because they're dangerous. They got two pass rushers. J.J. Watt is practicing, is going to come back as well. So that maybe solidifies that defensive run defense just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they were great, but he's a veteran that can play the run at a high level.
Four.
Rams.
Really? All right.
Now, just because the defense, they got Aaron Donald and they got Jalen Ramsey on the backside.
But are you having trust issues with your guy, Matthew Stafford?
Of course.
All of a sudden now it's kicking in. Because you're the guy that said he should be MVP. At the start of the year, he'll be the MVP.
Well, he had some mishaps, but you know.
Why is he going through this right now? What is going on with him?
I just think that because they don't run the ball enough. They tried to run the ball with Sony Michel 21 times.
Yeah, they got Eckler back.
But if Cam Akers continues to get stronger, like he only had 5 carries, he's a guy that's different from Sony Michel because he's a draw screen guy. He's a guy that can run routes. You know, coming off the Achilles at the beginning of the year.
Akers, right?
If he continues to get stronger, he can maybe get some of that replacement that they expect from Robert Woods.
So does that put then Dallas at 5, or are you going Niners?
I'm going Niners.
Whew. Whoa. All right. Now I got to figure out why you have Dallas power ranked so low right now.
Because the uncertainty. And whenever they had to step up against the
varsity. I'm guessing they're ahead of the Eagles, though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But whenever they had to step up against the varsity, they got beat.
They've dominated their division, but they aren't beating the good teams.
Yeah. They lost to the Cardinals. Yep. They lost to the Bucks. Like, they lost. Whenever they had to step up in competition, and it was a team that was good that can fight back, They weren't ready for the smoke.
So they dominate the NFC East, but yet if you look at the rest of their schedule, they lost to the Bucs. That was opening night, right? Some other losses on their schedule include the Kansas City Chiefs, Raiders, another playoff team, and the Cardinals.
So name me the playoff team that they beat.
Playoff team that they beat?
Didn't they lose to Minnesota?
They beat the Patriots.
But they lost to the Broncos.
Yeah, they did lose to the Broncos. Their other loss. They did beat the Patriots, though it took overtime. All right. And as far as another playoff team goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
Come on, man. Stop.
I mean, I'm just saying. Stop. You asked me.
We're not going there. That don't count. We're not giving them that.
You're not giving them the Eagles?
No, the Eagles were in shambles at the beginning of the season, and then they didn't even play their starters. Jalen Hurts didn't even play in the second game.
Right, they beat him twice, though.
Yeah, they didn't play him in the second game. And they got beat down by the Broncos.
All right. So Dallas, you have them sixth out of seven playoff teams in the NFC. That's a team.
Truth hurts.
You just never know what they're going to give you. We are back in 10 seconds. You always know what we're going to give you.
Wish I could sing this.
I know. Instead, I'll say tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We're Bart and Hahn. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. In 10 minutes, we get the master, Paul Feinbaum.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this.
I mean, you get an SEC championship game, basically, for the national championship, Georgia, Alabama, what it all means, the fallout, everything else, and Jim Harbaugh. We have to ask him about Jim Harbaugh. You know we're going to ask him about Jim Harbaugh, and we will certainly do that. So that's coming up in a few, but we got your calls at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But
Paul
first,
Feinbaum is a thug. I know
Bart
when
said
I
it, and it must be true. But there was a story this morning that I saw. I was reading the New York Post, and it made me think. Remember Antonio Brown was calling out Tom Brady about how he didn't have my back, like he wouldn't go to them and guarantee my money and all that stuff, right? And then you see this story. So Rob Gronkowski, in the season finale, he had an incentive, a couple of incentives
to reach. That's his boy, though.
They were worth $500,000 each. Mm. So he needed 85 more receiving yards and 7 catches to get that $1 million jackpot. Brady was supposed to come out of the game. 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right? The game, they were blowing him out. The game was over. Let's rest Brady, right? Brady grabs his helmet, yells at the coaches, and goes in the game. They told him, no, you're done. And he's like, no, I'm not done yet. So he made a pass. They're up 14. Again, game's over. He throws a pass to Gronkowski. That's the 55th pass. That's unlocking one bonus. And he gets his money. I mean, that's what he did.
See, but Antonio Brown would say, okay, yeah, that's his boy. He takes care of Gronk. But you don't think he would have took care of you? He could have got those in the Jets game. He could have got those. He only needed 5 catches in the Jets game to unlock his bonus.
Right.
And then he only needed 80 yards to unlock that bonus.
Right.
He had 2 weeks to do it. And meanwhile, Brady had.
And instead, he did jumping jacks and left the field and said that everybody was against me and nobody would get. See, Brady, when he said, I want to guarantee my money, Brady should have said, yeah, don't worry. I'll guarantee your money.
Yeah, bro, he only had 50. If you can't get 50 yards against the Jets, then something's wrong. And you had 2 weeks to get it.
And you said he had 5 targets in that first half.
5
right?
targets, he had 3 receptions.
And 3 catches, so he was on his way.
And then he only needed 80 yards, and the guy that caught the touchdown pass was like a 50-yard pass. Mm. That was it.
Coming up, the man Bart Scott calls a thug. College football. No, stay with us on ESPN Radio for this. We say goodbye for the day to ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.